Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos.
Hi, John.
Still. He's still with us, which is good. Here. That means things are going good.
My nap is over.
And our next guest, this is an honor, actually. I was wondering when Christina sent the stuff that we're having an author. I'm saying, okay, so there's an author coming on the show. Milton Pascoe is an author who published his first book at the age of 94. The first book was published. Second book came out this past year, and there's another one in the works.
It's completed already.
It's completed. Good morning, Milton.
And printed.
And printed, okay.
And edited. Sorry, go through all the steps.
No, I have to in order to get it done. But that's the we were talking earlier with Janine in reference to successful living and the importance of doing things that maintain longevity. Longevity comes about when there's a reason, when you have something to live for. You don't say, oh, I'm going to look for longevity. If you don't have a purpose, there's no longevity. Milton has come up with a purpose. How did this come about? I mean, I think anybody listening to the show today wants to know, how did this come about?
Well, it all started during World War II. I kept a daily diary, and I thought that when it was completed, the entire family, when I got home, would be interested in reading it. Nobody gave it even a glance. Why, I never could figure out. But after that,
I put it up in the attic, and it just sort of laid there.
Okay.
And later today, 60 years it laid there, gathered dust. And finally, my daughter-in-law saw it one day and browsed through it for a moment and said, why don't you print this up so we can read it? It's not that clear. My handwriting.
Oh, it was handwritten journals.
Handwritten.
Okay.
In pads that we used to buy in the PX. PX being the military supermarket.
Okay. And so Sicilian Escapades
was the result.
The result of all the pads that were in the attic for 60 years.
Right.
And I think the amazing thing, and it's so true, everything has its time. And even though you probably were disappointed, I shouldn't put any feeling into it, but you were disappointed they didn't want to read it when you brought it home. Now the number of people who are reading it is so far greater than if the family read it and said, oh, Dad, Grandpa, whatever they wanted to call you at the time, this is great, and they put it away.
That's right. They were interested in getting back to civilian life again.
Right. And, you know, when you look back, I wasn't involved. I know you've been in the... I mean, you don't want to review it so quickly, I suppose. It was devastating. It's like, guess what? Put it away.
Milton, how long were you in Sicily?
I was overseas for almost 3 years.
Right.
Sicily, about 2 years.
Right. So, now the point I'm getting at here is back in those days, it's not like today where you could talk on the telephone with your family or your friends.
No.
Or by email or by whatever.
Not at all.
So you had an outlet when you were able to write in this journal. It kind of, looking back on it, I wish I did that.
Yeah, it was very interesting. I didn't really have a purpose in mind, but I thought, you'll never know how this might turn out to be interesting.
Yeah, and I think I've written some stuff, not anywhere near as dramatic as you, but I think what happens is when people are younger, they don't quite get it yet, but when you get a little older, you know, like my kids are starting to get up into the 50s and whatnot, they're starting to look back a little bit more and realizing that they're getting older as well, and that they can reflect more on trying to relate to you when you were in that bracket, you know? I have a good friend who did the same thing as you, and he kept letters that he wrote to his mother, and he was in World War II when he actually printed the letters in a book. And the only thing is he never told anybody where he was or what he was doing in the letters.
Well, you were not permitted to do that.
Right, exactly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But,
yeah. I read the book.
Off the record, I had a secret code when I wrote letters that gave away my location. But nobody could figure that out.
But in your journals, you said where you were, though, or you couldn't write it. In your journal, your page, you could write, I was in Sicily, or I was...
Yes, I did.
I didn't know you couldn't write
a letter.
No, you
couldn't.
I mean,
they actually would screen some of the letters. You know?
Oh, yeah, they censored their letters, yes.
Wow, okay. I had no idea. Yeah. Now, actually, Otto brought up an interesting point there about writing. And when you were writing, did you find that, like, as a... an outlet, going back to our first speak, like, was that helping you? You couldn't communicate, so there had to be a lonely feeling. I'm just guessing. I'm not trying to put anything in your mind.
It was a wonderful outlet.
Okay, it was, okay.
Gave me the greatest pleasure to elucidate and go into details. In fact, write a few things in there that I have left to my imagination.
Okay.
Just to dope it up a little bit, make it more interesting.
Right. Which is important because, I mean, today, you know, if you feel something, you could make a phone call.
That's right.
That you don't realize going back then, when you got on the boat to go overseas, it was 2 years before you basically talked to somebody again.
That's right.
Milton, how did you met your wife in Sicily from reading some of your book. How did that come about? Did you just happen to be in the right spot at the right time?
There's one thing the Italians never forgot. Regardless of the war, and that was music.
Right.
And the opera house still remained open during the war in the city of Catania, the capital of Sicily, not the capital, a very important seaport in Sicily. And they met in fact, even during blackouts, you could hear them singing, groups of people singing as they walked down the street.
Right.
And of course, I met my wife at the opera house.
Really? She was in the audience, or?
No. They were in the lobby, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And I looked up and I said, who's that beautiful kid over there?
Yeah, right.
Because you were so old.
Yeah, right. And the parents, of course, stood by carefully watching.
How old were you at that time?
About 24, 23.
Yeah, you were an old guy.
That was old for the army, yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I
tried to speak to them because I had picked up the language pretty quickly. I was invited over to meet them. And of course, they were always looking forward for sugar, coffee, and chocolate from the soldiers under any pretense. Inviting you over for dinner, make sure you brought a little of each.
Right. And then you did you get married with your wife in Sicily? Or
no,
did you?
No. At that time, the military discouraged any marriages overseas. And it was extremely rare that they would permit it. No, we waited until she came over alone. That's quite a story, too.
Yeah.
You want to share it?
Yes, I'll tell you briefly what happened. I came down to the ship to meet her when she arrived. And there was a long delay, and one of the officials at the dock said, why don't you go down to the battery and get a pass to get on the dock? Because otherwise the customs do not permit anybody on the dock until all the passengers come off. So I ran down to the battery, got a pass. As soon as I got back, the ship had already docked. Everybody had been off, except for one shadowed person sitting at the far end of the dock, sitting on a valise, and that was my wife, Linda.
Wow.
And she thought I had abandoned her.
Okay.
And abandonments were common in those days. The guys changed their mind. They never came down to meet their brides.
Really?
And they had to go, they sent them home again.
Now, was she coming over specifically to be your bride or to be, like, start dating? I mean it sincerely. I mean, was it the intention she was coming over to marry?
Yes. The government made it easier for the future war brides.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so then I see. So that's major disappointment if you think you're coming over to become.
1946 or somewhere around
there? No, that was, 47 she came over.
After the war.
Yeah, by the time all the documents were straightened out. And then the government insisted that you put up a $500 bond in case you don't show up. That would be the fare to send her home again.
$500.
Yeah.
That was a lot.
That's
back
a
then.
Lot.
It was.
Back then it was.
In 47. I mean, it's.
My father did it. Yeah. He was afraid that he didn't care too much for the arrangement.
Okay.
I can tell you.
And Had he met Linda yet or no?
No.
He just knew the arrangement. Okay.
Yeah. When she finally came over, they met. And he was very happy to see that he thought that she would fit in. He was afraid of all foreigners at that time, even though he was a foreigner himself.
Right, okay. But
Where did your father come from?
Originally Russia.
Russia, okay.
And my mother came from Poland, but they met over here. That's another story.
You know what we're going to do? Actually, we're going to go to a little bit of an early break because we want to hear that story as opposed to getting it interrupted. So you're listening to Milton on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back.